Hello and welcome. I am your host for the evening, Goblin Queen, and tonight we are going to read a little batch of stories that I found on a website called the Fortiana Forum. And this is run by the Charles Fort Institute. I'm not sure if the Fortean Times is under that umbrella, but I would think so, because it does kind of come into play during this episode. I can't remember exactly how I came across these stories. I think it was while I was doing the Puppet People episode, and maybe someone posted it on one of the Reddit threads I read from. I'm not sure, because I honestly haven't looked too much at the Fortiana forums. Anyway, I had saved this thread that I found that I think someone had probably suggested in the comments. I didn't read it, but I saved it because it was really interesting. And then I was going through it the other day, and as I was reading it and reading the comments, I saw that there were interesting stories in the comments, and then people suggesting other similar stories and threads. So this might be a little bit of a shorter one. I'm not sure how long it's going to clock out to be, but they're all related. They're all from the Fortiana forums in some way, and I think they're tied. There definitely is a tie to the Fortean Times, because the forum that these are on the Fortiana forums website is called It Happened to Me, which is a section of the Fortean Times magazine. It's a page or two, usually, where they print people's encounters, firsthand stories that they have submitted. So, safe to assume these are people's real experiences or maybe discussion. I haven't poked around too much besides these, but these stories that we're going to read interest me in a couple of different ways. One, because, well, they're really good. They're also really strange, and the stranger stories always interest me the most. The high strangeness, the weirder the better, is what I always say. And these are pretty weird. I think you're going to like them. And I also need to know if you've had a similar experience. So stick around. If that sounds good, let's get started. So the first one was posted in February 2009, and they titled their post Lion Man. This was posted by a user whose screen name is Owenie29. This happened to me when I was around 5 years old. I awoke late one night for no apparent reason. I got out of bed and went into the living room. I felt the urge to approach the window. I have no idea why. I opened the curtains. A man-sized lion, or more accurately, a man in lion costume, crouched behind the curtains upon the windowsill. The lion man was notably tall and lanky. His costume was not particularly realistic, but had a very thick, shaggy mane. The fur over the body was proper lion color and sort of velvety in texture. The lion jumped off the windowsill and landed in the middle of the room. It grabbed me by the arms and danced aggressively around the room. It swung me around for a while, then eventually stopped. Finally, it dropped me on the carpet, as if being discarded. Not thrown exactly, just dropped. I looked up, and the lion was gone. The lion never made a sound. I went back to my bed and hid under the covers. In the morning, there was no sign of the lion. It could have been a dream, but it certainly didn't feel like one. And since I didn't wake up from it, it seems unlikely. So that's a pretty creepy encounter and very unusual. However, I will say, before I go on, that I recently listened to a pretty old episode of Strange Familiars podcast. I'll put on the screen and perhaps in the description what episode that was. But it involved a woman telling a story from when she was a child, and she woke up in the middle of the night. I don't know if she woke up, but anyway, in the middle of the night, she was in bed and she looked at her window, and there was a man in a bunny costume, like an Easter bunny costume. Although I don't think she saw, you know, a face or anything. It seemed like it looked like a bunny costume. She might have even called it a bunny man, or it seemed like it was a person in a bunny costume. And she was pretty sure that there wasn't actually a person in a costume outside her window. I think she said she lived in a very remote area, just in an area, she said, where you kind of don't sneak up to people's windows and properties because you're likely to get shot. Weird. This one is also kind of weird. Well, it's weird in many ways. So it doesn't seem like the window was open from how I'm reading it. I don't know. It doesn't really specify. It seems like the man or the lion or whatever was just behind the curtains, like almost hiding behind the curtains on the inside. They don't specify if they were on the inside or outside of the window. So they were crouched, but up on or upon the windowsill. So, I mean, in my apartments, I actually have really wide windowsills on the inside, probably maybe even like a foot wide. So very comfortable for a cat to sit on. And you know, I have lots of plants and the ones that the cats can't get to. So if it's a very wide windowsill like that, I could see a person standing upon a windowsill. But if it's like your standard windowsill, that's pretty strange because you can't physically, it's not possible, you know. So that would just add to the strangeness. Either way, it does, really. But especially if it's one of those really, really thin windowsills where a person can't even stand on it. They said a man in a lion costume. They don't mention, again, seeing like a face or anything. It just seemed like it was a lion costume. Very tall and lanky. Not a realistic costume. Yeah, I'm kind of picturing the equivalent of like an Easter Bunny-like costume. Like a handmade kind of Halloween costume. The fur was very velvety and it had a thick, shaggy mane. So after it jumps off the windowsill, it grabs her and dances her around the room, swinging her by the arms. Really weird. And it only happened one time. So you could say it was a dream. They acknowledge that, but they said it didn't feel like a dream. And I know many people who've had paranormal experiences can resonate with that. Just like, we know what dreams feel like, and we know what things that aren't dreams feel like. They said this happened when they were around 5, so people could say you have an active imagination at that time, you're at a certain developmental stage, where your brain processes dreams and things in your brain, yada, yada, yada. Whatever the case may be, it is very specific and bizarre, but it's not entirely unique because there was that encounter in Strange Familiars that was similar, but an Easter Bunny, and I don't think they came into the room like that. Anyway, I'm going to move on to the next comment that is also in this thread, the same thread. And this comment was posted by Tamu. This is something I'd always passed off as a dream, but I thought I'd add it to the thread. When I was small, around 4 to 5, I was moved into a different bedroom than the one I'd been in up until then. Nothing frightening, just a move from one room to the neighboring one. Although I'd had no problems sleeping in the other room, each night when I would try and sleep in the new room, something weird would happen. I would see about half-sized lions, leopards, and white tigers leaping over my bed in a never-ending loop. They never threatened me, just leapt over the bed, ran under the bed to the other side, then leapt over it again. I could close my eyes and pretend they weren't there and fall asleep. But it happens every night, and I complained enough that my parents actually remember. One night, on top of my dresser, a small rhino appeared. It looked really friendly, and it told me, somehow, that it would keep the big cats away. My mother was in the room when this happened, and one of the strongest, most vivid memories of my childhood is telling her to look at it, hurry, before it's gone. And her turning around and smacking it off the top of the dresser, and me crying and telling her it wasn't what had been scaring me. I was too scared to sleep in the room after that, for fear of the rhino's revenge, or because I felt it had been what had been keeping the cats from attacking me. Of course, my mother has no recollection of killing it. Oh, I feel bad for them with that one. I can imagine them being so sad when their mom smacked the little rhino off the dresser. That's so sad. But very odd. Very odd. What did their... If this really did happen, I'm not saying that they're making it up, but that it's a real memory and not a dream. What did their mom see that she smacked off the dresser? Although she said she doesn't remember it. So strange. Because you know how in some... You hear about some cases where people see two different things. One person sees a Bigfoot and one person sees a puma or something. As they said, they always wrote it off as a dream. But I do have to note a few things and liken it to my own somewhat similar experiences. They said that this only happened in their new bedroom that they moved into. It didn't happen in their previous bedroom. That's a little odd. Maybe some child psychologist will say there's something about this change that triggered these hypnagogic hallucinations or something. It's also strange that it happens every night, and it's the same imagery every night. This never-ending loop of different big cats jumping over the bed. Again, I mean, many people will say that this is just some kind of hypnagogic hallucination, something your brain is doing as it's falling asleep, or something your brain is doing while it's in a dark room. But it is just interesting, even if it's not paranormal, that it's the same imagery every night. There's no deviation. I don't know, but maybe that's common. So I know for myself, this is something I've talked about before, that when I would wait to fall asleep, specifically when I would sleep in my mom's bed in her room with her, it wouldn't happen when I was in my own bed in my own bedroom or in my bedroom at my dad's house. It would only happen in my mom's bedroom. And it wouldn't be like as I'm drifting off to sleep. It would be as I'm very much awake and waiting to get tired. I would watch this green slime drip from the corners of where like the ceiling meets the wall. And it would drip down the wall. And it didn't look completely like solid green slime. It looked like kind of, you know how colors look, maybe not, I don't know if everyone has this. When I close my eyes, I often see colors, especially if I'm like meditating or something. But you know, I think most people can see them if you close your eyes and then maybe you rub your eyes or something, or you press your fingers against your eyelids while they're closed, you'll see colors. The slime that was green had that kind of quality to it, where it's almost kind of transparent and kind of flickery and staticky. It's kind of like that. So anyway, my point being is that I would see this green slime every night when I was waiting to fall asleep, only in this one room. And I always just thought it was weird how it was the same exact thing I would see every night and only in one room. Yeah, that was a little repetitive, but that's what this experience reminded me of. And then the little rhino entity as well. I can't tell if he was only there for one night or there was just one night in particular where he was there and their mother was there. And I'm guessing they said they couldn't sleep in their room after that. And I'm guessing they didn't see the big cats or the rhino again after that. So it's weird how there's this beginning and end to it. And it seemed somehow, some way tied to that room. Okay, so I have one more comment to read in this particular thread. This one was posted by Bierney. I just had to reply to this post to tell you about my daughter. From a very early age, she has always had imaginary friends. I use the word imaginary very lightly, but that is another story about a little girl she used to play with. When she was about 3 years old, she's now 10, she used to always be chattering away to someone called Lion. At first, I didn't take much notice of it, as she was always chattering to someone. But as she grew older, Lion never went away. He was always somewhere in the background. At the age of about 5 to 7 years old, he was very prominent in her life. We lived in a high-rise block of flats. The nightly ritual of going to bed was the usual of reading a story, tucking in, kiss goodnight, etc. Then, I would have to go and open the curtains halfway and open the window a fraction, locks in place, so that Lion would be able to get in. This was so, I was told by her, he could watch her while she was sleeping to make sure she had a good night. He liked to sit at the end of the bed. I've even had to pull the car over to the side of the road in order that we could let him in so he could travel home with us. I did ask her to describe him to me. She told me that he was a boy who had a face that looked like a lion. He had wings like an angel. She said that they were the best of friends. I asked her what they did when he came over. She said that they played and he made her laugh. You could always hear her laughing in her bedroom. But most of all, he looked after her. Now that she is older, Lion still appears, but not so often. Even only a few weeks ago, she told me that Lion had paid her a visit. At first, I did feel that it was strange, but this friend became a strong part of her life. That's actually a really, really nice story. Pretty cool, too. So just the very brief search I did on Winged Lion, because I knew there was some kind of deal. There's some depictions of winged lions, and the few examples that I came up really briefly, I didn't put a ton of research into it at the moment, but there's a Mesopotamian protective deity or entity. I think it's called Lamassu, or I think that's how you say it at least. But it's kind of the reverse of this lion, a lion with a capital L, because it has a winged lion's body and then a human head, whereas this friend of theirs had a human child, it sounds like, body and a lion head or face and wings. So I didn't really find one that fit that description. It's usually just winged lions or things like griffins, or a lion body and a human head. But, I mean, when you do see winged lions, a lot of the times, like that Mesopotamian deity, it's a protective creature, like a guardian. There's lots of, like, statues of winged lions. So, like, those, I would think those kind of act as guardians as well. Some coat of arms and flags have winged lions. So it is a very noble, protective, guarding image. So, very interesting. That's whether it was an imaginary friend or something more, which even their parents seems to think like there's more to it. Seems like she had more stories. Very interesting, this whole imaginary friend. You know, I know that it can get pretty creepy too. There's all those lists of creepiest things kids say about imaginary friends from like Reddit on BuzzFeed and shit. So I know it can get quite strange. I remember having imaginary friends, but I never felt that the ones I had were more than that. They very much felt like it was something that I was imagining, but still enjoyed them. I honestly, I kind of wish I had this experience because I was kind of annoyed that I had to like work at it to make an imaginary friend. So it's cool. And I think that the parents seem to, I like the way that they handled it, just doing what they needed to do to let Lion in. And yeah, being just very respectful of their child's friendship, whatever it may be. I think that's going to be very helpful for their child in the future. It never seems to turn out as one might think when you tell a child just that something isn't real. And I understand that it may be done with the best intentions, but it doesn't seem to work. You have all these people in adulthood telling their stories as children, and they remember their parents saying that it's not real, and yet that did not convince them otherwise. So I think it's best to just be respectful. If it is something that's scaring a child, I'm sure there's something that can be done besides telling them it's not real. Maybe saying a way that they can protect themselves or comfort themselves. I'm not sure, but yeah, it's interesting. So those were all the comments and stories and stuff that I wanted to read from that thread, but we're not done. I found another thread. Well, I think it was actually suggested in the comments of this one, of some more bedroom animals. This post is actually called Bedroom Animals. Again, it's on the It Happened to Me particular forum. Or actually, maybe, I'm sorry. So this one is actually posted on the 40 Times websites. And I think it's maybe the It Happened to Me, you know, segment that they do. It was actually in one of the issues. And then they put it online on the website. It looks like it was in issue number 194. From March 2005. Cool. This experience was submitted by Sean Campbell. in Dublin, Ireland, and the following events happened roughly between 1981 and 1985. When I was very young, I had a nasty habit of getting out of bed in the middle of the night and crawling in between my parents. I was doing this constantly up until around the age of 4, by which stage my dad had obviously had enough. He told me that he'd let me keep the light on all night so long as I promised to stay in my own bedroom. I agreed, but lay awake most of the first night, just staring at the curtains. I kept drifting in and out of sleep, my mother coming in a couple of times to make sure that I was okay. During the times when I was awake, I kept staring at the design on the curtains, my eyes following it as I attempted to see how many times it repeated itself. It was then that it happened. Quite without warning, a large creature suddenly appeared from behind the curtains. It was possibly 7 feet high and covered in sandy-colored fur. A lion's head and face were atop two impossibly long legs. In fact, it seemed as if the legs came directly out of the head. I can't remember the thing having any kind of torso whatsoever. It stood there staring at me for a few seconds before suddenly striding towards the bed. I recoiled, but before I could react further, it simply vanished. I'm fully certain that I wasn't asleep. The memory is far too distinct and clear for it to have been a dream. Strangely enough, though, once it had vanished, I felt no fear whatsoever. I didn't even get out of bed. A couple of years later, I was lying in bed once again, this time with the light off. Once again, I was staring at the curtains, the streetlights outside illuminating the lace patterns in a dim outline of white. As I lay there, I suddenly became aware of some movement by the wardrobe, my eyes focusing in on the door. And then, quite without warning, the wood suddenly seemed to split open. A large white head appeared, much like that of a hippo. It was glowing white, and when it opened its mouth, a strange squeaking sound emerged. It swung its head back and forth for a few moments, and I could have sworn that I heard the sound of laughter from the other side of the room. Then, in a reverse action, the head disappeared back inside the wardrobe, the wood instantly fixing itself. Once again, I felt no fear. I remember checking the wardrobe the next day, but couldn't find any evidence of anything unusual. I told my parents, but they insisted that I must have been dreaming. I know I wasn't, though. I remember my dreams, and there's a big difference between the atmosphere of a dream and reality. Over the next couple of years, I experienced similar such visitations. The outline of an elephant appearing on the wall at one point, and another occasion when some kind of ape was looking in through my bedroom door. The final incident was somewhat different and far more frightening. It was when I was about 7, once again lying in bed alone. I was wide awake and scared. Why? I don't know. I just kept thinking that there was something in the room watching me. I turned over so that I was now facing the wall, and as I did so, a deep, growling sound came from behind me. This time, I was scared, but remained hiding under the covers as I was far too terrified to get up and run for the door. This was the last time such an incident took place. For years, these memories have haunted me. And I can't help but wonder if anyone else has ever experienced similar bedroom visitations. Perhaps they were mere hallucinations, but why would I be hallucinating up until the age of 7 and then suddenly stop? And why was it always animals that I saw? If there was some problem with my brain, then surely it would have continued on into adulthood. One further thing. I don't know whether it's a coincidence or not, but the cessation of these incidents seemed to coincide with the removal of the old wardrobe from my room. Okay, well, kind of a variety there in experiences, except, as they said, all animals, and they are kind of weird animals. All of these are weird animals in some way. It's not just a perfect kind of animal as you would see one in real life. The first story there was, it was a person in a bad lion costume. And in the second one, it was animals that were not their normal size. They were either half-sized or very small. And then this one, it's like the lion was just a really big lion head with two really long legs coming out of the head. and there was like a hippo, but it was glowing white. It's interesting. They said, you know, maybe it was a hallucination or something. And maybe if you went along the lines of thinking of that, I don't know, this is some kind of thing children are prone to in their bed as they're going to sleep. And maybe it's all animals because children are really interested in animals. I don't know. I just get a weird feeling from it that it's something more. But don't know for sure, of course. It did stand out to me as well. This was another case where there was a clear end to the events, which was the removal of this wardrobe. Also, this one had the window and curtains, much like the first story. So these two things, windows and wardrobes. Actually, I've done an episode in this series I have going on called Deconstruction of a Haunted House, where I'm going kind of room by room, or structural elements by structural elements, on not only stories surrounding these particular rooms or elements in a house, but also just thinking about why they could be prone to strange activity. So there's one episode where I do windows and wardrobes in the same episode. So if you look at windows and wardrobes or closets or whatever, both of them kind of have this metaphorical symbology of why they might be prone to haunting or strange experiences. So it was curious to me that they had animals appear from both a window and a wardrobe, and that it seemed like it stopped when the wardrobe was taken out of their room. And also, they mentioned an ape looking in through the bedroom door. I mean, a doorway. It's another metaphorical kind of twixt and tween place. It's very interesting. And I mean, yeah, just like I said, all of these, they even say these bedroom visitations, and that is of great interest to me, because I'm thinking, we haven't got to the end of my deconstruction series, but I'm pretty confident that the bedroom is, for all intents and purposes, the most haunted room in the house, or at least the place where most paranormal experiences take place. And you could probably just say that that's because people are sleeping there. So whether it's a hypnagogic or a hypnopompic hallucination, or it's a dream or something like that, but I'm not convinced. I don't know. Either way, it interests me. And also, of course, childhood visitations. Children see the most, have the most unexplainable, strange experiences. And then the scariest experience that they had, they didn't even see anything. They just heard this growling from behind them. And that was the most frightening experience they had. So I am now going to read the comments. And there's a little back and forth between one commenter and the OP. So I will go ahead and read that now. This commenter's name is Filthy Le Dog. And they say, quote, "I can't believe what I just read. I have heard before, though, of children having these experiences, but none of them as detailed as this, or as what happened to me. Mine is a similar story, except instead of, quote-unquote, normal animals, I had a, quote-unquote, octopus that sat on the end of my bed as a child in the early morning and talked to me. In addition to him, there were some nasty little skinny gnome-type entities that kept appearing on top of my wardrobe, diagonally opposite the end of my bed, who would taunt me and threaten me. This octopus sometimes served as a kind of guardian against these, reassuring me and warding them away. I, too, would have considered this a dream, were it not for the fact that it happened morning after morning between the ages of about 2 and 4. End quote. So, before I go on, Filthy says that these other his experiences were normal animals, which I don't think they were, because the lion was very strange, and the hippo, of course. But maybe they just mean more realistic looking, because we'll get a better description here in a second. Sean, the OP, asks, quote, "Did it look realistic, the octopus? Or was it an anthropomorphic octopus, like a cartoon character?" End quote. And Filthy replies, quote, "You know, Sean, that's the funny thing. It wasn't a, quote-unquote, real octopus. But, as you speculate, it was like a cartoon one. But a real cartoon one, if you understand what I mean. I can even remember feeling the weight on the bottom of the bed as though he had a real physical presence. I can't remember him actually going. I guess as I got older, the visitations got less and less, and it gradually ended. I do recall being quite sad at some stage, maybe because he'd gone, and the gnomes hadn't, and they were still giving me a hard time. I suppose as children we had brains that are very susceptible to all sorts of forces, so in retrospect, I view these events as some kind of hallucination. End quote. Okay, so they said it was a cartoon octopus. These cartoon characters come up every now and then. I believe I've read at least one or two, maybe, My Puppet People series. I'm not sure. If not, it is something that comes up. To mention Strange Familiars again. Love that show. Tim has had a few of these come up. And isn't it so interesting? These cartoon characters. And I think by what they mean, when they said a real cartoon, if you understand what I mean, I think that they mean it looked like a cartoon, but it was in real life. Or maybe they mean kind of like a photorealistic drawing. I guess I don't know what they mean. So those are just my speculations. And then they also had these little gnomes attacking, bothering them on top of the wardrobe. This is just crazy. The wardrobe, man. And this one, Filthy's story. Their octopus, their cartoon octopus, kind of reminded me of Lion. Actually, now that I think about it, a couple of these stories have these protector entities. In the story with the imaginary friend, for lack of a better word, Lion. Lion was just a protector entity that would sit at the end of the little girl's bed. And I guess the commenter of that story didn't tell us if their daughter was having anything that was bothering her that they needed protecting from. So that would be curious to know, but maybe Lion was just there just in case. But then, so in Filthy's comment here, and then in the story with the animals jumping in a loop, the big cats jumping in a loop over the person's bed, these two are similar because there was like a bothersome, frightful entity and a protector or a reassuring entity. There was the leaping cats and then the little rhino that gave off this kind of a reassuring, comforting, protective presence. And then in Filthy's story, there was the nasty little gnomes on the wardrobe and the octopus that sat on their bed and felt like a protective or guarding presence. Too bad that the gnomes kept bothering them. I wonder what happened to the octopus, because we know what happened to the little rhino. He got smacked off the dresser or wardrobe. Yeah, so fascinating, isn't it? And I mean, if anyone has a story like this, let me know. That is all I was able to drudge up for now. As far as the bedroom animals go, those were just all conveniently kind of connected on the Fortean forums, which is a place I'm going to have to dig around more for stories, because I think there's probably some pretty awesome ones. I mean, the Fortean Times segment, It Happened to Me, I love that section. I could definitely find stories from that alone to read. I think I've even saved some favorites of mine. And I did poke around a little bit in different places like Reddit and Your Ghost Stories for similar kind of stories, bedroom animal stories, but I wasn't able to come up with anything at the moment. There was, speaking of that episode I mentioned earlier that I did, the windows, wardrobes, and hallways, there was a story I read in there from the Fairy Census that I was almost going to read again until I had to double check that I had already read it. But yeah, it's very brief, and it's someone saying how they remembered when they were a child this wardrobe they had and these nasty little wolves. Nasty little wolves, those are the words they used, would come out of the wardrobe and run around their bedroom at night. Yeah, so it's really brief but really interesting. I found all these stories fascinating. I mean, I know that these bedroom childhood experiences are very easy to write off to an outsider because, you know, you're so close to sleep, you're in a dark room, you're a child, you have an overactive imagination, your brain is developing. Yeah, so there's all these things you can come up with where it's easy to come up with possible explanations. on one hand, I think that a lot of the people who have these experiences and relate these experiences say that they really felt like it wasn't a dream. So I do like to try and honor people when they say that. But even if it were just something that your childhood brain does, that's pretty interesting in itself. That, I don't know, your childhood brain has these crazy hallucinations, I guess, this imagery, whatever it may be. And it's not something that translates into adulthood. Because, yeah, I would see things every night growing up. Slime. And actually, speaking of animals, I would see these big fish swim around my room. Very akin to the Microsoft aquarium screensaver, which could have had an influence on it. I'm not saying it was necessarily paranormal. But it is interesting because I don't have that happen anymore. And that was just a regular part of my waiting to fall asleep when I was a kid. Although, as I said, very specific to one bedroom. Yeah, so hopefully you found them interesting as well. If you have something similar, whether you find it to be paranormal or not, I'd love to hear it. Because, as I said, either way, it just really interests me. But when people do think that there's more to it, I don't blame them. Because I understand the feeling. So, I will be back very soon with more stories. At this point, we're getting close to the spooky time of the year, October. So, if there's anything in particular you'd like to hear, topics covered, themes, formats for October, let me know. If you're listening and October is not drawing near, you know, it's October every day of the year here on my channel. I like to maintain that vibe because I'd like to have October all year. So anyway, thanks for joining me. Take care and good night.